Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of the day for the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Iyar is one of those months with 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, so that the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar is really the 30th day of Nisan, and I always wonder where to put it in the months, but I'm going to treat it as Iyar because that's the way it's more commonly known, as the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So we're already on response for Rosh Chodesh Iyar. We start always with gratitude and thanks to the OU, to Rabbi Jacob Bromwich, and to David Hochhauser for their help in putting these shiurim online. Today we're going to see a tshuva of the Binyan Tzion of Rav Yaakov Ettlinger from the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar of Tov Resh Yud of 1850, when he was just about exactly the age I am now, 52. So it's just an example, and I collect these. I have a wide and big collection of times where I see people who have completely completely surpassed anything I'll ever hope to do. So, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, one of those people, is answering Rav Moshe Schick, a question that had been asked by Rav Moshe Schick, who I think is more commonly known as the Maharam Schick. He doesn't say it in the Tshuva, but there is a Rav Moshe Schick, Maharam Schick, who was a prominent Hungarian Orthodox rabbi right around the same time. He was 9 years younger than Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, who was a German rabbi. So I think he's writing to him. And the question they were dealing with was this interesting theoretical question. When we say that you're not allowed to give something in the hands of a minor, that's prohibited. So that's general halacha. There's a concept in halacha, and we'll get into it a little bit here, but there's a concept in halacha of that a katan ochel nevelot ain't beitin mitzuvin lahafrisho, that when you have a katan, a minor, who is violating the Torah, a beitin at least is not obligated to stop the minor from continuing to commit that sin, right? Where so if you see him eating, something that's non-kosher meat, we're not required to stop him from eating the non-kosher meat. But we generally assume that we're not allowed to give it to them ourselves. We're not allowed to stop. We don't have to stop them. Maybe it's not like we're allowed to feed them non-kosher on purpose. The question was, does that only apply when the adult is also included in that prohibition? And the reason you think so is, because if, let's say, it's non-kosher food. So for me, it's also, I'm an adult in some senses of the word. For me, it's also non-kosher. If for me, it's non-kosher, then I'm not allowed to give that to the katan. But let's say it's something that's not prohibited to me. Then when I give it to the katan, to the minor, I'm not, in my experience of it, giving the minor anything prohibited, right? I think of it as not prohibited. So that's the question. The question is, and the way they'll express it is, the question is, does this obligation on an adult not to give prohibited items to the minor, is an obligation on the adult, or is it what's true of the minor, that the minor is not allowed to eat the food, and therefore the adult can't participate in that? So, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger's instinct was to bring a proof about this issue from a Gemara in Nazir on Nun Zayin Amud Bet, where we assume that a woman is allowed to give a haircut to a katan, to a minor, and she's allowed to be makif. So the problem of Bal Takif is that we're not allowed to round out the corners of our, men aren't allowed to round out the corners of their hairlines. That's where you get what we call peyot. The word peyus or peyot comes to the fact that those are the corners. A peyah is a corner, and the corners we're obligated, required to leave. And the thing is, we grow it down to wherever you grow it down, to the bone, the bottom of the ear, whatever one holds about the obligation of peyus, of peyot. So that comes from the prohibition of Bal Takif. A woman is, even though women in halacha in general are equally obligated in all of the prohibitions of the Torah, Bal Takif is an exception. Women are allowed, are easily allowed to cut their hair all the way on the sideburns, right? They have no obligation to grow sideburns or to avoid rounding out their hairline. So the Gemara there says, so if you have a woman who's giving a haircut to a man, woman giving a haircut to a boy, I'm sorry, so the boy is a minor, he's not obligated in the Torah as it were because he's a minor, and she, if she cuts his hair beyond the sideburns, so that, the Gemara seems to think, is allowed. But that's only where the Kesef Mishnah tells us in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where the Rambam talks about these issues, that's only where the child doesn't help in any way. So I'm sorry, the opinion in the Gemara there, I'm not sure we passed that, but the opinion in the Gemara there, I think we do, but the opinion in the Gemara there that says that the woman is allowed to, so that's only where the kid isn't helping in any way, and therefore, you could say that it's not like you're making the child commit a prohibition, because the prohibition there might only be to actually do it. But maybe there's not a prohibition for it to happen, just to happen on its own. And for the kid, if the kid's not helping anyway, then maybe it's not doing that. So, but then he says, but I've got a proof, actually the exact opposite way, in terms of, it's Gemara Nida Memvavo Medbed, about somebody who makes an oath, and whether or not you can help a kid violate an oath. They say it depends on the issue of Katan Ol Cholavela, whether Beit Din is required to stop the, whether Beit Din is required to stop the child from violating the oath or not. So the Rav Yaakov Ettlinger says, the Binyan Tzion says, so if they relate it to the issue of Katan Ochel Nevelot, you see that even though the Ma'achil doesn't have any share in this prohibition because the Ma'achil hasn't made this oath, nonetheless, it's all part of that same thing. So that would seem to imply that the question that the whether or not the person providing the thing item that's prohibited to the minor is included in that prohibition or not would seem to be irrelevant. So now he has got proofs either way. He's got a Gemara that seems to say, the Gemara of Baltakif, that seems to say at the first reading, although it could be different, but it seems to say that if it's not a prohibited for the adult, they're allowed to do it to the minor. And then you have another one that seems to say that it doesn't matter whether or not the adult is implicated in that prohibition from the case of Shavua, of an oath, and however that would work. So he doesn't think you can draw a conclusion from there, and he thinks also that in each of those conclusions, you think you could draw the conclusion the way, meaning we generally assume, he says, and that's why it's worth mentioning, we generally assume, katan ochel nevelot, be'eino mitzuv elahafrisho. We're not required, a beit is not required, a court is not required to stop the katan, to stop the minor. So it could be that all the cases you find, all the sigyot, all the discussions you find that assume the other way, that we cannot give a minor prohibited items, even if they're not prohibited to us, that might only follow the opinion that says, katan ochel nevelot, or the other way, katan ochel, I'm sorry, all the sigyot that say that the adult cannot give it to him, even if the adult isn't obligated in that prohibition, that could be only according to the opinion that says in the Gemara, that we're obligated to stop minors from sinning, even though they're just minors. So then you could say, well, if it's a prohibition, if it's an issue that focuses on the minor, well, once it focuses on the minor, then you could say, even if I'm not obligated, I'm included in it. But since we pass in the halakha, since we rule halakhically, that we're not obligated to stop minors from sinning on their own, then you might say the only obligation, the only sins we're not allowed to give them directly are those that we're included in. So he thinks that it's inconclusive so far. Another case that might have had that might have shed some light on this issue is the question of, let's say you have a minor who has not yet had a brit milah, and you want to rub oil on this minor because it was a way of softening their skin, a little bit like baby oil. So I have some oil, but it's oil of truma. So oil of truma, if it belongs to a Kohen's allowed to use it. But he's only allowed to use it for members of his household who have had brit milah, who've been circumcised. So we're talking about a Kohen, right? We're talking about a Kohen. For the Kohen, it's permissible, and it, yet, we have a question about whether or not you're allowed to use it on the minor who is an Ariel at this point. And we say that you can't, right? So, maybe not. So, the problem is there that if you look in the Gemara's there, and part of the problem with these Chuvos of Binyan Tzion, I try to use them because I think he was an important gadol, and so I get opportunities to use them, I take those opportunities. But part of the problem is that he is very excited about going through the sigyot in ways that would involve us having to take each sigyot on its own and then figuring it out, and I'm trying not to have to do that in these situations. So he points out, though, that in some of those sigyot, which seem to imply that we are implicated or not implicated, they have special derivations, special psukim, special verses that tell us this particular thing. So if you have a special verse that tells you this, it doesn't tell you the answer to your question. Because let's say it says, lo tochlum ki sheketim, you cannot feed it to them because it's a sheket, because it's something disgusting to you. So that's l'rabot. That comes to add that we can't feed it to ketanim, to minors, even if we weren't to be implicated. Let's say, v'chol nefesh, or if you have a puzzle that says, v'chol nefesh lo tochal dam, no soul can eat blood. So then it's telling us that it's including minors, but it can't really be including minors because minors are not included in any of the prohibitions of the Torah because they're not adults to be obligated by anything. The Torah doesn't obligate minors in anything. Therefore, it must be that it's telling us that the people who would feed them are the ones who have a problem. Similar to what it says that the Binyan Tzion, similar to what it says by Pesach, in the case of the Korban Pesach, is called Ben Nechar Lo Yochal Bo. So Ben Nechar theoretically would mean non-Jew, but it's taken to mean any mumar, anybody who's no longer believes in halacha, in Judaism, in the Torah, and all those kinds of things, is not allowed to eat it. So the Rambam, right, the Rambam says that it's not talking about the person eating it, because the person eating it doesn't care about prohibitions. So what's the point of adding a prohibition to them? The Rambam says it's about the ma'achil, that the person who is going to be giving out the Korban Pesach, who is a believing Jew, has to know that he's not allowed to give it to such people, or she's not allowed to give it to such people. I this is not really the Binyan Tzion's topic, but I'm dealing with this in much greater brevity, I think, than he dealt with it. So I think we'll have time. So if you don't mind a slight digression, I would just point out that that's one of these complicated kinds of questions that I don't think we even realize when we long for the return of the Beit HaMikdash that would come up, you know, I don't know, immediately, but maybe almost immediately, but would be a big issue to navigate. The Torah says, it means that we're not allowed to feed people who are not believers in the Torah and in Judaism. Can you imagine, you know, the God willing, the Beit HaMikdash comes, and you have, unfortunately, still Jews in the world who are not fully observant, and so they're not fully believing, and so you'd have to have a Sanhedrin or a Beit Din rule on who counts as a Ben Nechar or not, but you would almost definitely come to a situation where you have a Ben Nechar, you'd have somebody who doesn't think of themselves as a non-believer, but is a non-believer, and they'd come, we'd have to say to them, you can't have a Korban Pesach. So that's related to this issue, and right, it's not a complete digression, because related to this issue in the sense that it's a question of who are we allowed to feed what or give what to. So usually we've been talking about, we have items that are prohibited to somebody else, and not prohibited to us, can we or can we not? So this is an example of that, because I may be, let's assume for a second, and I hope I am, a believer, so then I would be allowed to partake of a Korban Pesach, but if somebody came along and wanted to be included in my list, who I was, let's assume, I'm not going to paskin for myself, whom I am required to think of as a believer, as a non-believer, and therefore I am required to think of that person as someone who I may, to whom I may not feed a Korban Pesach, to whom I may not feed a Passover sacrifice, what I do, right? So that's the situation. Even though it's not prohibited to me, it's prohibited to give to others, and I'm including that prohibition. But that's because there's a special pasuk called Ben Nechar, Lo Yochabo, it applies to me. And it applies to me, like I said, even though I'm not included in that actual prohibition, because I, thank God, for the sake of the argument, am not a Ben Nechar. So the Binyan Tzion notes that he also got a letter. This is a discussion he was having with a bunch of people, right? So he's talking to Maram Shik about this, but he heard this idea that we just shared from a previous Rebbe who doesn't name by name, I think, or I cut it out of my presentation, and I apologize for that. But he's also got a letter from the Rav of Lemberg. So I've seen this in another Tshuva of the Binyan Tzion. I usually don't get into them because it gets very complicated with the back and forth, but also where he'll share letters he got from the Binyan Tzion, letters he shared with other people and topics he shared with other people, and he would be involved in a sort of a rabbi's conversation about these kinds of issues, about issues that came up. So the Rav Lenberg had written issues like this, ideas like this too, proofs from these kinds of situations to suggest or to argue that we don't generally include people if they're not included in the prohibition. We have special psukim for special situations. So he says, he thinks the other way around. He thinks, this is what the Rav Lemberg is writing. V'zeh l'shono, this is what he writes. L'fi ani adati pashut, de'afilu hu be'atzmo eino muzhar, even if a person, him or herself, is not included in the prohibition, asur l'achil l'katan, you can't give a minor that material if the minor is included in that prohibition. And his proof, the proof of the Rav Lemberg was, from Pesachim and Daf Pei Chet, you have a yatom, an orphan, sheshachtu alav apotrophisin, yochal me'ezesh yirtzeh. Let's suppose an orphan gets included. An orphan has guardians in halacha very often. So an apotrophos is a guardian. Let's suppose for whatever reason the orphan has a few guardians and they all intend to include the orphan, the child, the minor, in their Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says he can eat from whichever of those Korban Pesach he wants to. Let's remember that ordinarily, generally, one has to eat only from the Korban Pesach that person was signed up for, right? The Pesach is nechal only limnu yaf, to those who signed up for it. So if it's only for those who signed up for it, you'd think that this orphan hasn't specifically signed up for, he's specifically signed up for 17 or 6 or 2 Korban Pesach, you'd think that wasn't good enough. So the Gemara says, Shmamina yesh breira. Right? It sounds like this is the halakhic concept that comes up in a lot of contexts. How it works here or doesn't work here, we won't be able to get into. But the concept of brera is where if I say one of X should be X, and I don't define it, but later events will demonstrate which one it was, does that work or not? So I think in general, you assume that in Torah propositions, it does not work. So that works over there. We can talk about it another time. But that's what the Gemara says, a function of Brera, meaning that they all said, the kid signed up for us, three of them, let's say, said, this kid signed up for us. But then when the kid eventually goes and eats for one of them, that shows which one he was really signed up for. So that's Brera. Sorry, that's the way I read it. Tosos apparently read it differently, so we should trust Tosos, because Ravina Gavin points out that Tosos there says, how can you give the kid of your Korban Pesach? It has to be, that would be Shelo Limnu Yav. That would be that the kid's not signed up for it. So I guess I understood the Brera issue was defining what he signed up for. In any case, Tosos says he's not specifically signed up for it. Isn't that a problem? And then Tosos says, this is the part that we care about for our discussion. What about the problem of, or Tosos says, even though there's no problem of Katan Ochel Nevela, the Katan, the minor, is eating something that he's not allowed to be eating because we're not allowed to stop him, but Tosos says, but we're not allowed to feed it to him. Lispot lo biyadayim asur. So the Rav Lemberg said, see, the person who signed him up, the Apatrophus, the guardian who signed him up, is clearly allowed to eat from that Korban Pesach. He's on the list. And yet, Tosus assumes that he can't feed it to the minor because the minor wasn't in the list. Another proof that the Rav Lemberg offered. What happens when you have a minor, a Ketana Bat Yisrael, who marries a Kohen, and she eats Truma? So we're talking not about where the father marries her off. That's a D'oraita marriage. But sometimes you can have a situation where, let's say, a father dies. So Chazal created a marriage, a kind of a marriage that was a marriage. They said she can marry him. That's the kind of a marriage that she can get out of with what's called miyun. So it's a marriage d'rabbanan. And yet we seem to hold that if she marries a Kohen, she can eat Truma. But eating truma for somebody who's not married to a Kohen is a d'oraita prohibition. So you can say, well, but she's only a minor. So the Gemara says, this is another broad topic in the Gemara about which the psak is very important and yet is not always so clear. And that is whether or not Chazal have many powers to protect the Torah. They can do many things. For a simple example, they can tell us not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah happens on Shabbat. So that is uprooting. That's what we're talking about. A koach b'yachem na'kor devar min ha-Torah. They're uprooting the Torah. Right? In that case, b'shev v'al tasha. They're telling us, just don't do something. If you don't do something, even though that's a violation of the Torah. So that would be fine. But there's a whole discussion about whether they can do it. Some held they couldn't do it even b'shev v'al tasha. But some held they couldn't do it. They could do it b'shev v'al tasha, but they certainly couldn't do it with Bekum ve'aseh. Kum ve'aseh means with actively. So here, she'll be eating the truma actively. So how could it be that when she gets a derabbanan, she gets married at a derabbanan level, she can actively violate the Torah? So you say, well, the Chazal said, she's so much like a wife of a Kohen, she's allowed to eat. But that's uprooting the Torah. That's leading to a violation of the Torah. Bekum ve'aseh. In an active way. And there are those who hold that you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara there answers, she's not allowed to eat regular truma. She's only allowed to eat truma de rabbanan. She's allowed to eat rabbinic truma, as it were, right? She's allowed to eat truma that Chazal declared truma. So there, Tosus has the question. Even a truma that is a biblical form of truma, meaning, let's say, for an easy example, you give truma from wine. That's clearly a biblical form of truma. There are other species of fruit and grains or vegetables where there's more question about us. Let's say that would be a truma d'rabbanan. So that she can eat truma, let's say, from apples. That would make sense because that's d'rabbanan. What about a truma d'oraita, like a truma from wine? So the Gemara seemed to imply no. So Tosa says, I don't understand why not. Because even if it's true d'oraita, she's a minor. That's the whole case. The case is she's a minor who's getting married. So in one of the instances Tosa gives there, ve'o de'ochelet begino. She's eating, so begina really means because of him, because of her husband, the Kohen. But it sounds like, the Gemara, the Tosfos says, that it would mean even if he gives it to her himself, he like gives it to her with his hands, and that's not allowed, says Tosfos. So mevu'ar lehedya, it makes it very clear that even a Kohen, who himself is allowed to eat truma, and therefore he's got no problem with it, it's not prohibited to him, he can't feed it to her, that according to this Tosfos. Another proof of this idea. In other words, the Rav Lemberg is very clear that even if it's not usher to you, as long as it's usher to the person you're giving it to, you're not allowed to give it to them, even if they're a minor. Because of this general idea that we can't give minors things that we think of as prohibited. Another proof is from Nida, Gemara Nida. Let's say you have a Yitoma, an orphan, Shenadra, Ba'ala Meferla. So again, we're talking about an orphan who got married. This is an Isuin Derabanan. So we say the husband can say that her oaths are null and void. Problem is, Gemara asks the question, if she's a mufla samuch la'ish, so there's a category when it comes to nedarim, to oaths, to vows, there's a state where the child is already close enough to adulthood that we think their vows have a right to status. They're not in any way an adult. They're not an adult halakhically by the standards of being an adult, by being a gadol. But when it comes to nedarim, there's a special, it's not a loophole, there's a special addition of a time when their oaths will be valid, called a mufla samuch la'ish, where they're an age close enough to the Torah standard of adulthood. So then how can the husband be made fear such a neder? The husband can be vatal. How can he say that neder, that oath, doesn't count? After all, it's a rabbinic marriage, and you're telling me they can get rid of a neder d'oraita, of a Torah prohibition, of a Torah oath. And in a discussion of that issue, whatever the end of the issue is, but in a discussion of that issue, the Rashba in Yevamot says that the Girsa should reflect the fact, however he writes the Girsa, but the Rashba should reflect the fact that he can't really give her items that she had, even after he's been vatal, so he can't give her items because it, or until he nullify the oath. He can't, or if she's a mufle tzamach leish, so she made an oath at the deraita level, then, and it's only the suin derabanan, and he in fact cannot give her the items that she took an oath about because he's not allowed to give her stuff by hand that's prohibited for her, even though for him it's not prohibited because he didn't take the oath. So that was all of these were all examples that the Rav of Lemberg gave to prove what he thought was clear, that even if I am not obligated in a certain prohibition, I cannot give it to a minor who is included in that prohibition, even though they're a minor, and theoretically the minors don't have these prohibitions. We're allowed to let minors violate the Torah. We're not required necessarily to stop them from violating the Torah. So Rav Yaakov Edlinger says, I don't understand this, the letter of the Rav Lemberg, of this great rabbi, because in each case, he's going to say that it doesn't prove the point that he's trying to prove. So, for example, from the question of Kohanim not being allowed to let minor Kohanim do things that are prohibited, that are not prohibited for them, he says there's a Rokeach that I pointed out, where the Rokeach thinks that a Kohenet can't make her son be Tomei, even though a Kohenet, a female Kohen, is not required to stay away from Tuma, and yet it seems like she's not allowed to. So that would seem to prove it one way. But then there are Poskim who disagree. He says, I didn't find this whole halacha miforash ba Poskim. So therefore, even if you have Rayos, even if you have proofs that you think show the point, because you might show me, right, you might have shown me a Tosfos, you might have shown me a Rashba, you might have shown me a Taz, right, to all those things you might have shown me, but Rav Yaakov Edlinger says, I wasn't looking for that. Now, why was he looking for that? Because he's got a Rokeach the other way, and he says, because I wanted Rayos min ha-Gemara, I wanted proofs from the Gemara that go against the proofs that I brought from the Gemara. Or he says, an explicit, not an inference, in the Gemara, in other poskim, Rishonim, meaning these were all inferences in Tosos and the Rashba that we had had, and he doesn't want inferences, he wants straight up, because he's shown us other poskim, other authorities, whose mashma'ot, whose inference, whose implication is that there's no problem with this. And by the way, he says some of your proofs aren't good proofs at all. So for example, the proof of the orphan eating from whichever Korban Pesach he wants to, so you say, well, you can't feed it to him. The fact that you can or cannot give it to him shows that even though you're not including the prohibition, so Rav Yaakov Edlinger says, that's not a good proof of that point. Why is that a good proof of that point? Because maybe the apotrophus or the father, whoever it is not obligated in this Korban Pesach, right, in this Pesach sacrifice, right? Maybe not, but he's obligated in the general proposition of not eating a Korban Pesach if you're not signed up for it. So that's not true, meaning the case of the mother and the child is a much better case because she's not included in the prohibition of Baltaki. She's not included in the prohibition of cutting her hair, cutting her sideburns, or not cutting her sideburns. So that's a better, but the proposition of the katan, of the minor, who's going to eat from a particular Korban Pesach and hasn't signed up for any Korban Pesach or other, so that's not a problem. a prohibition that the adult isn't included in. The adult is included in that prohibition. Maybe not in this particular instance, but it's a prohibition that includes the adult. So too, he thinks it's clear that a Kohen has a prohibition to feed Truma to those who are not included. We said again, the Kohen can eat the Truma, so if the Kohen is married to a woman at a rabbinic level of marriage, and you wonder how he could feed her the Truma, if we wonder at why he's allowed to feed her the Truma, we say, doesn't that prove that he can't feed it to her even though he's not prohibited? So the Rebbe says, I don't understand. He's not prohibited eating Truma himself, but he's certainly prohibited in feeding Truma to those who are not allowed to eat it. Right, it's the same thing. It's no better than if he burned Truma. You're not allowed to burn Truma, right? You have to burn Truma that becomes tummy. But Truma that's just regular Truma, you're not allowed to just burn it. You have to eat it, right? Or you can't feed it to an animal. So if the Kohen is prohibited against destroying Truma in getting rid of Truma in ways that are not valid ways, giving it to people who are not allowed to eat Truma is no better than giving it to an animal or burning it, because in all the cases, the Truma will be consumed in a way that is not a qualified way of using up this Truma. He left with a rash about the neder, which he doesn't get into so much, but I think he thinks it's not such a proof anyway. I can easily imagine he would say the same thing here, right? The rash would say, for the rash, you'd say, he's not included in this neder, he's included in the idea of nedarim. So once you get into the idea that it's a question of being included in the idea of something, and that's considered being included in a prohibition, so I think that broadens it, that makes the question much more complicated. And then he thinks the Taz isn't such a proof either. And then he says, and I remember my father once thinking this about somebody else who said something like this, and my father was scandalized. He says, even if you said the Taz holds it this way, you know, if he's against the Rokeach, who said the other way, he says, Menole Lomar Kane. How does he know how to say such a thing, right? Sometimes you say, great, you're right, so-and-so said it, right? I ask you if this proposition is true or not true. You say to me, look, the Taz says it straight out, but I say to you, how did the Taz know? Right? Because even somebody as great as the Taz can't just make things up, right? The Taz has to have reasons to know such a thing. So if the Pasuk doesn't say it, right, the Pasuk says, B'nei Aharon can't do something, but it doesn't say about the Ketanim necessarily. So then if the Pasuk includes them, it clearly seems to include the adults as well, and therefore it doesn't tell us the answer to our question that we had of when you have a situation where the adult is not included in a prohibition and the minor is included in a prohibition, that the adult's not allowed to do that. So he's already written, he says, a little bit of a proof for his opinion from the case of, if you have a kos yayin, you're going to give it to a nazir, and that's your example, you're not allowed to do it, not other prohibitions. He says, I can't just on my own go against even just an implication of the Rishonim. But he does think, he says, he does conclude, la lacha ulamase, he thinks he really should be able to act on it. That if you have a problem, an issue, we have to make a minor katan, a kohen who's a minor. If you have to make a kohen who's a minor tummy for some reason, it's better to do it by having a Jew or a regular Jew, a non-Kohen Jew, or a Kohen and a female Jew do it, because they're not included at all in that prohibition. Right? That'd be the good example. Getting Tameh, becoming ritually impure, is a full prohibition for a Kohen, an adult Kohen. A minor male Kohen is in some sense included in the prohibition, but he's a minor. So if for some reason we have to make them Tameh, so let's say, you know, it's a baby and you have to do it for medical reasons, you have to bring them into a situation to get a Tameh, he thinks it's better to do it with a Jew, a regular Jew, or a Kohenet, or a woman, because they're not including that prohibition. So that for all that he had, the other Rabbanim who all thought that it was clear to them that it wasn't true, he thinks that he has no proof of that, and he thinks that if you look at all the sources, there's enough reason to say that if I am not included in X prohibition, then my feeding that to a Katan is much less of a problem than somebody who is included in that, because for all that, we're not allowed to actively give Isurim Tiktanim to minors, we're not allowed to give them prohibitions, items of prohibited material. That's only, he thinks, it might only be true if it's a prohibition that applies to the adult, him or herself. But if it doesn't, then that would change it. And that is Rav Yaakov Etlinger's responsive day for the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. With thanks to the OU, to Rabbi Jacob Abramowitz, David Hochhauser, I wish you a great day, and a reminder of these broad issues that sometimes posts can deal with, including in this case, the Binyan Tzion, dealing with a broad issue that applies to a specific case, the question of, can adults give minors prohibited items if they, the adults, are not including that prohibition themselves? Have a great day.